Hello and welcome back to Talking Talmud. I'm one of your hosts, Yordana Osman. Here with my friend Chavruta Ann Gordon. Our daf today, Masechet Nazir, daf Kav Chet, page 28. Well, we have two Mishnahs here, and I'll start with the first one, which basically discusses whether or not a husband can still revoke his wife's neder of Nazirut while she's performing the concluding korbanot, the what has to take place at the end of her term of Nazirut. Nizrak alea chad min hatamim. So blood was sprinkled on the mizbeach on, behalf of the wife for the korbanot that she is bringing. Eino yachol lahafir. So at that point, he no longer can actually revoke her nazirut because he can only do it when the vow is actually effective, when she's actually a nazir. And he basically would normally have to revoke it on the same day that he hears the vow. But let's say he only a nazir on the day that she's bringing her, the end sacrifices. So that's a little odd. So I just want to make that point clear halachically. We learned in Nedarim that he can only revoke it within a day of hearing that she made that vow. But let's say there's some scenario where he didn't hear about the vow until the end. But once that blood is sprinkled, right, she is basically released from her vow, right? And now she's allowed to do whatever she's allowed to, drink wine, cut her hair, she can become tamei. So at this point, there's no reason for him to longer in effect. Rabbi Akiva Omer, afil nishchata lo achat mikol ha-behemot. Even if one of the animals was slaughtered on her behalf, even if the blood wasn't sprinkled yet, enu yochol lafir, he also is not allowed to revoke it. Now the Gemara is going to explain that later on. He agrees that the Nizirut is actually still in force until the blood is sprinkled. But he thinks that once the, once you've actually shechted those animals, once you've slaughtered those animals, if he were to revoke the vow at that point, then that's not something that should happen. And the Gemara will have a longer discussion. Could you have could you still have those animals be brought? But it's a specific issue. But in other words, what the Gemara is going to make a point about is that the Tanakam and Rabbi Akiva both agree that once the blood is sprinkled, that's when the Rabbi Akiva has an additional concern about the sacrifice once they've been slaughtered, and therefore he says it's a little bit earlier. What's the context? This is concerning. Meaning this is when she brought the korbanot. But if she brought, if it's head shape, the euphemism bringing the concluding korbanot, bringing the korbanot because she was a nazir, while she was in, he's going back and because her term got interrupted by her becoming in that case, he is the vow even after the korbanot were sacrificed. You can say FCBSHA manuvel. I don't wife. That's literally what it means. Is that remember to repeat her term? He may say enough, like you have to not drink wine again or something like that. And so with that case he actually could still reverse.
We're still in
It's still in play because she didn't
fulfill. Rabbi Meir says, "Apati galachat araya
fair." Even consider, even the hedge. Okay.
In other words, Rabbi Meir's arguing here.
So the Gemara is going to start off with a discussion that this Mishnah doesn't follow Rabbi Eliezer, right? Because he actually holds. Right, because it says Matnina Deloka Rabbi Eliezer, our Mishnah doesn't go according to Rabbi Eliezer, D.E. Rabbi Eliezer, because if it was according to the view of Rabbi Eliezer, Ha'amar Tikalach Me'ach Chevet, right? He said that not finishing the head shaving, right, actually, you still are bound by the Nizirut prohibitions. So, V'kevan Delo Gilcha Asira B'chamra, and since she hasn't shaven her head, when the blood is sprinkled on the altar, she still wouldn't be allowed to have wine or become tamei or anything like that. If it came into Islay Nivul, and since she still has some deprivation, right, she still can't drink wine, Matzi Mefer, he still would be allowed to revoke her vows. So that's one interesting point here. So this Mishnah doesn't seem to go Rabbi Eliezer. I just want to read the part at the end, which to me was just sort of sociologically amusing. Again, getting to this dispute with Rabbi Meir, where he basically says that he could actually revoke it before she shaves her head. And the Gemara says, right, this is right before the next Mishnah, which you're going to do. The Tanakama, Amar Lach, he could say to you, F Sharbat Peah Nachri, right? That maybe a shaven woman, right? Why is she not repulsive? Why doesn't he hold, according to Rabbi Meir's point of view? Because she could just wear a wig on her head. So in other words, yeah, let her basically, you know, shave her head. It's not going to be really repulsive to her husband because she could just wear a wig. For Rabbi Meir, Sabar Bepeah Nachrit, I did to Zuhuma Lot Michaleb. Rabbi Meir holds that even a wig is repulsive because, and the Mepharshim explained, because it's somebody else's hair, and therefore it's not agreeable to him. So even though they're, well, even according to Rabbi Meir, that wouldn't be agreeable. And you rightly pointed out that obviously the wigs of the time of the Gemara or the Mishnah are not the wigs that we have today, but just like halachically how that's changed, right? Like today we have these crazy wigs that look quite honestly better than most people's hair. I know I'm getting on a soapbox here. But, you know, at least there in the, to have this discussion that's sort of like wearing a wig, according to at least Rabbi Meir, may not actually be something that a husband would want from a sociological point of view, just was very interesting to me.
Sociologically, I agree with you 100%, obviously. I'm curious why people would have been wearing wigs back in the day, right? Nowadays, it's a matter of Kisui Rosh in Orthodox circles, let's say, and of what? Protecting image, let's say, if somebody has hair loss or for whatever different reasons, right? And so that's why people want to have beautiful wigs or at least, you know, normal hair, wigs that look like normal hair. But I can't imagine that they have, maybe I'm wrong about this, but my sense is that the technology for that is fairly relatively recent.
Yeah, I agree with you. And, you know, this is totally off tangent. When wigs really became popular as a head covering, it was very controversial. And even today, there is controversy around it. But that's a whole other discussion.
It is. It is. And the fact is, even today, not everybody accepts wigs as a valid form of Kisui Rosh. We should at least acknowledge that. Okay, I'm going to jump to the next Mishnah, which, of course, the Gemara for the next Mishnah is on the next daf, so we'll hold off for that until tomorrow. Ha'ish Madir Ad Beno Benazir. So we had talked in the Gemara yesterday, the day before, about how a person coming out of Nizirut can only bring his own korban. And here we have a fact, the perhaps this gives a little bit of a different context, that a man could in fact vow that his son who is a minor, not yet bar mitzvah, could become a nazir, that the father turns his son into a nazir fundamentally through his words. We also talked about this Mishnah several dapim ago, that it was going to be coming up, that a woman cannot do the same to her son. She cannot vow that he would become a nazir. Kate said, so how does this work? What are the details? How is he going to end up being a nazir? Gileach o shegilchuhu krovav, micha o shemichuhu krovav. So if the son had shaved his hair, meaning he's rejecting the vow that the father imposed upon him, or for example, if the krovav, if his relatives shaved him his hair, and or if he said, no, I don't want this, I don't want to be a nazir, or if the relatives insisted on his behalf that he can't be a nazir, then the nazirut is canceled. It's really an interesting kind of thing. Like the father can impose this upon the son, and the son can reject it simply by saying he doesn't want it. I feel like people have the conversation before the father makes the vow to begin with. Italo behema mufureshet, achatat tamut. So now what happens? The son is canceling the nazirut, but what happens if those animals had already been separated off to be the offerings at the end of the Nizirut that now isn't happening? So now that animal has been consecrated, especially, and in particular, of course, the Mishnah is going to talk about the Chatat, the animal that has been set aside for the Korban Chatat, for the sin offering, and now it must die. Ve'ola tikrav ola, and the korban ola will be brought as an ola. Ve'shlamim yikravu shlamim, and the shlamim offering will be brought as a shlamim offering. Fine. Ve'nachalin liyomechan, and it will be eaten in the one day. Ve'einan tunin lechem. And they do not require bread, meaning we've seen this kind of situation before. Ayulo ma'otz tumim yiplun l'nedava. Now, if he has funds that have not been allocated, they will be allocated now for, you know, nedavot, communal gift offerings, extras. Ma'ot mefurashin, and if there were designated funds, d'mei chatat yilchu liyam ha'melech, and likewise, we've seen all these examples and conclusions before that the money for the chatat would be sent, really, right, to Yam HaMelech. It's not used, and you can't use it. You can't use it for consecrated property, for not consecrated property. Deme Ola Yaviu Ola. The funds for an Ola would be used to bring an Ola. Mualin Bahen, and in fact, there is such a thing there as misusing it. Deme Shlamim Yaviu Shlamim. And likewise, you can have, let's say, you bring the shlamim, or you can bring the shlamim, you eat it, and then one day, and it does not require bread. And that's the Mishnah. I think it's pretty straightforward. Where the Gemara goes with this is going to be an interesting trip tomorrow.
Well, that's our tough discussion for the day. Rank us, review us on all major podcasts. Thank you to Rabbi Michelle Farber for hosting us on the Hadron website. Let us know what you thought about this topic on our Talking Talmud Facebook page. And until tomorrow, go and learn.